Well, it's posh here, isn't it? Yeah, it's all right. I like it here. There's some new faces. So to those of you who don't know who I am, well, you do now because Sheila's just given us that great introduction. So hello. Dave asked me to talk about Advent. Apparently today is the first Sunday in Advent. Now, I didn't grow up in church, and so Advent to me didn't actually mean much, to be honest. That was Advent, as far as I was concerned. I don't know how many others of you are old enough to remember Blue Peter. And there they go. And every year they did this thing with four candles and lots of glitter. And as far as I was concerned, that was Advent. So it's some kind of church festival looking forward to Christmas. Like the Coca-Cola advert, you know, the holidays are coming, all that kind of thing. What does it really mean? So here's a dictionary definition. The arrival of a notable person or thing, the first season of the church year leading up to Christmas and including the four preceding Sundays. So here we are on the first one of those four preceding Sundays. The coming or the second coming of Christ. So for us, it's about the anticipation or the expectation that something good is coming. And that is what I want to talk about, really, that something good is coming. Back at the time of the first Advent, there was Mary, 8 months pregnant, just about to get on a donkey and go all the way to Bethlehem. I don't envy her that experience, but bless her. So off she went, and she knew definitely that something good was coming. She knew that there was something special happening. And so we're going to go back to the beginning of Mary's pregnancy. She knew how special the baby would be because of the way, of course, that he'd been conceived and everything that had happened. So, next slide is Luke 1. Thank you. From Luke 1:26, I'm going to read. In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee named Nazareth. He had a message for a young woman promised in marriage to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David, and her name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Peace be with you. The Lord is with you and has greatly blessed you." Mary was deeply troubled by the angel's message, and she wondered what his words meant. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God has been gracious to you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will make him a king as his ancestor David was, and he will be the king of the descendants of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary said to the angel, "I am a virgin. How then can this be?" And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and God's power will rest upon you. For this reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God." Remember your relative Elizabeth? It's said that she cannot have children, but she herself is now 6 months pregnant, even though she is very old, for there is nothing that God cannot do. "I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it happen to me as you have said." And the angel left her. And then after that, we read the story where Mary goes to see Elizabeth. And as she arrives, the baby that Elizabeth was carrying in her womb leapt at the greeting of Mary, we're told. It's as if it knew, as if this baby knew that the child that Mary was carrying was a miraculous child. And we can read all about that, and we can read all about Elizabeth's baby and how the angel came to Zechariah, his father, while he was doing his priestly duties in the temple, and tells him that they will have a son and that their son will be John the Baptist. Didn't say he was going to be John the Baptist, but said he was going to be special, and he does end up as being John the Baptist. And he was going to be like the prophet Elijah. He was going to prepare the hearts of the people for big things, for God's plans and the arrival of the Messiah. In the meantime, Joseph, Mary's fiancé, he also had a visit from an angel in a dream, telling him that even though she was pregnant, she hadn't been unfaithful to him, but that this child was from God. So this time we're in Matthew 1, the way that Matthew tells the story. Yep, there it is. This was how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. His mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they were married, she found out that she was going to have a baby by the Holy Spirit. Joseph was a man who always did what was right, but he didn't want to disgrace Mary publicly, so he made plans to break the engagement privately. While he was thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for it is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived. She will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now, all this happened in order to make come true what the Lord had said through the prophet: "A virgin will become pregnant and have a son, and he will be called Emmanuel," which means God with us. There's a lot of beautiful prophetic language associated with these announcements, if you like. There's a lot of poetry in this part of the Bible, the beginning of the Gospels. There's Mary's song about how the Lord is showing mercy to Israel and bringing blessing to the world. Zechariah talks about salvation coming and a light that will guide people out of darkness. And we've read about Gabriel telling Joseph that this baby will be Emmanuel, God with us. All these words echo a lot of the prophecies from the historic literature that people were familiar with, what we would call the Old Testament, especially the book of Isaiah. So next slide, please, Tim. There we go, Isaiah. And these are very famous passages that we often read at Christmas and around this time. Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Isaiah 9:2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. And Isaiah 9, probably the most famous bit: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever." So for this family, Joseph and Mary, Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, and her husband, Zechariah, things were pretty clear. They knew that they were both having miraculous babies, Mary's especially. They knew that this heralded the arrival of one that was going to make a huge difference in the world. This is the one that they'd been waiting for, the notable one that was going to bring a whole new beginning for Israel and for the world. So they knew at this first advent that something good was coming. But for those outside the family, did they have any expectations? Did they know that something good was going to happen? Well, they had expectations, but they weren't looking for a baby born into poverty. They were really looking for hundreds of years. They'd been looking for a Messiah. They'd been looking for a king. They'd been looking for someone, because they were under subjection to a lot of more powerful nations all these centuries. And so they were looking for somebody to get them out of that. They were looking for somebody to fight with their enemies and to lead them into freedom. So more of a territorial thing, or a political leader, perhaps, that is what they were looking for. There were some people who knew when Jesus was born that something notable had happened. The next slide is shepherds. There they go. And what I needn't have bothered. Look, we've got our own down here. So the shepherds knew when Jesus was born, because they had this whole host of angels in the sky above them, apparently. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. So they certainly knew that something good was happening. Also the wise men. I haven't got a picture of the wise men. Who knew from their studies that this child was special. So here they are over here. But most people really at the time would have been totally unaware that their hopes and prayers for a Messiah had been answered, because the answer didn't look like anything that they were expecting. Basically, the answer looked like that. Probably got dark hair, but otherwise. Yeah. But more or less.
Okay.
So the answer didn't look like they were expecting, basically. And I wonder what our prayers are at this Advent time at the moment. I wonder what we're expecting. Know something good's coming, but will it match our expectations? My dad had a saying when things weren't going so well. He used to say, "Well, Jesus never promised me a rose garden." And So I'm going to go off on a bit of a personal digression. Now, Sheila's already told you about what happened after we left here. That immediately after we left here, we went to St. Lucia, which some of you will know. And when we got there, the jazz festival was on. We hadn't planned it like that, but it was. And topping the bill, the last night of our holiday, was Diana Ross. Now, I just love Diana Ross. And I couldn't believe it that Diana Ross was there. I just thought, oh, Lord, thank you so much. I think we've got a picture. There she, the red bit in the middle. Not terribly clear. I was a long way back and it was dark. That is actually Diana Ross. I was really there. And I just thought this was, oh, you know, this was amazing. I'm seeing Diana Ross. And I felt really spoiled. I was thanking the Lord for it. And I just felt the Lord say to me, not in some great voice from the sky, but just kind of in my head, yes, this is spoiling you, but there are some tough times coming. Now, I don't know how that goes with your theology, really, but it was just like, really, to me, it was the Lord giving me a heads up to say, I'm with you, I'm not deserting you, but it's, you know, it's not all roses. And so then, as you heard, we had a bit of a tough year. And things weren't great. But we have had some happier times recently. Yay! There you go. That's Joss with the white frock on in the middle. And Katie is on the right-hand side, if you know, anybody recognises her. And that's all Pete's family. Pete's sister in the middle and nieces and nephews. And yeah, it was a good time. I expect there are some of you out there who are hoping for some good times to come. Maybe you haven't had great times lately, and maybe you're hoping that soon there will be better times for you. Maybe this baby's birth that we're anticipating, maybe that has some meaning in all that. The next slide. Brick Testament, brilliant. The incarnation, what we are looking towards actually is the incarnation. And that is God himself becoming one of us, a human being. And that's not the easiest concept to get our heads around. And theologians have been worrying about the finer details of that for centuries. I think one of the best ways of seeing it is the picture that John painted at the beginning of his gospel. And so I just want to read you that bit, which is John 1:1, which I'm sure you've heard before. This is the Good News version, which I like particularly for this particular passage. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. Through him, God made all things. Not one thing in all creation was made without him. The Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. The Word became a human being and full of grace and truth lived among us. We saw his glory, the glory which he received as the Father's only Son. So he lives among us and he brings us light and life in good times and in not so good times. Now Jesus wasn't a sort of super angel, a man of steel, faster than a speeding bullet. The Bible tells us that he was tempted and stressed just like we are, and so he can sympathise with us in our weaknesses and when times aren't going so good. On the other hand, he wasn't just a man either, not just a particularly good teacher who came to a sticky end. He was God, and his life and death and resurrection changed the world, not just the world, changed the universe forever. It meant that we could get back into close relationship with our Father in heaven and that we could be part of his plans and dreams for the planet and everybody on it. So what are God's plans and dreams for the planet? The next slide. Now, Sheila might recognise that. More of you might recognise that. It's Genesis 1:26, but it's the version that we had, or does Dave recognise it, as the memory verse for Holiday Week 2010. Yeah. And we used to get Dave to rap it to the children. The children loved him. They thought it was great. But basically that means, when we remember it, that it means that we're in charge of the planet, but it means that we're in charge of the planet the same way that God would be in charge of the planet, which is with love and care and goodness and loving God and loving our neighbours, whether they're two-legged or four-legged or no-legged, just looking after each all. Okay, a rather more perhaps a different kind of way of looking at it, rather more subdued way of looking at it, is Colossians 1:20. And by him, Jesus, to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. So God has a purpose for all creation, and ultimately that purpose is the reconciliation of all things in heaven and earth to himself. I was watching the Cathedrals programme last week. Has anybody been watching that programme about cathedrals? Yes, a hand at the back. Hello. I haven't seen them all, actually, but the one last week was about Southwark Cathedral, and it was really interesting. And one of the guys who was kind of interviewed by the narrator for this programme was asking about the mission of the cathedral. And I just thought that he put it really well. The narrator asked him to sum up the church's mission. And he quoted Colossians 1:20, more or less. And then he said, and I haven't got his exact words because I had to scribble it down from the television, but this is more or less what he said. This reconciliation of all things in heaven and earth to himself contains a notion of completeness, of making right all that is currently broken or unfinished or damaged. And when the New Testament or Jesus talk about the kingdom of God, it's this sense of completeness, of finishedness, that God is working towards. And when we are in the business of improving people's qualities of life, of mending fences, of bringing people into honest and just relationships with one another, whether that's domestically or in the neighbourhood or internationally, it's all part of this bigger project of bringing everything back into a coherent and articulated whole. Yeah, it's quite an articulate guy, obviously, who was saying all that. We would say that when we're spreading God's love and goodness around, we're doing God's work. And it's the same thing, really, but I like the way he put it. It was a different way that unheard before. It was like a bigger picture. It was a sort of the goal, the end point that we're working towards when we're doing good stuff, when we're doing Santas on Sunday mornings or whatever, is that we are looking to reconcile, to be part of this project that God's got of reconciling the whole of creation. It's not just our individual lives or the lives of our friends. It's the whole of creation. And it struck me that Advent, when I was looking all this up in the dictionary and stuff, is also the beginning of the word adventure. They have similar roots. There we go. So, an unusual and exciting or daring experience. The excitement associated with danger or the taking of risks. A reckless or potentially hazardous action or enterprise. Is your email address still Danger Dave? Dave, no. Well, perhaps you ought to go back to being Danger Dave again. I don't know if anybody will remember, but a few years ago, I had a word for this church about being safe and dangerous, and a safe refuge for people around us that needed to know God's love, but as dangerous as far as any agenda of evil was concerned, because God's perfect love can cast out fear. And if we're walking in love and forgiveness, then his agenda doesn't prosper. So this big adventure, this huge project of fulfilling the hopes and dreams of God for this planet, reconciling everything to himself, we are part of this story. We have our own adventure within it, and it has its risks and its ups and downs. But God is with us in it all, because we know that Jesus came. The first Christmas really happened. That baby was born. God became man. And even if there wasn't a lot in the way of jingle bells and snow at the time, God really became man. And so we can have confidence that he is in it with us now, whatever what we're going through. Something good is coming. That's what Advent's about. Something good is coming. And we are part of making it happen, this something good. We are all part of making it happen. You are part of making it happen. You up for it? Thanks.
That's brilliant, Helen. Thank you.